Hey, bats, kiddos, Joker here, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a very special episode of the BCP. That is one above all, ladies and gentlemen. First, I got to, you know, this is a big episode, Goodest Brother, and we require three hosts for this one. This is long overdue. Of course, the Goodest Brother, flying co-pilot as always, and the Queen of the Indies herself here, the EVP of Giggles. But let's welcome our featured guest at this time. He's no stranger to holding gold, a multiple-time tag team champion all over the place. He has held the IWA Heavyweight Championship. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Anthony Gangone. Anthony, what's up, man? Thanks for a few minutes. How are you? Applause track.
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys. And of course, that was a great intro. I really appreciate that. You have a great podcast voice.
Thank you, man. Well, I hope it translates to a good commentary voice because I'm calling your match on Saturday, man. And I'm very excited. Now, shameless promo. Let's get it out of the way now. Saturday, April 17th at Adrenaline Sports Academy in Toms River, New Jersey for an outdoor socially distanced event. Titan Championship Wrestling presents Ignition. Shameless promo. Get your tickets now. Mr. Gangone, you are taking on Tony Batista. We're seeing the landscape of Titan kind of changing a little bit. Your thoughts going into this one?
Well, I mean, Titan for me is an interesting place because I really don't think they appreciate me or value me that much. Wow. And, you know, even, you know, they advertise this match and they talked about Tony being a standout at a tryout they had, which is fine, but it's like completely ignoring me, which is a bit strange because honestly, looking at their roster, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that I'm the best wrestler on their roster overall in every single aspect.
Hashtag top guy, man. I mean, you know, I'll say this. I saw that match. And again, like I said, the landscape is changing. We're seeing a lot of new faces. And this is a knock. A lot of these guys are very, very impressive, man. But in my mind, let's be real. You're no stranger to gold, man. You know, there's rumors of tag team championships even coming into Titan. Billy announced that exclusively on the BCP shameless promo. But do you have your eyes, you know, on that middleweight championship or on Steve Monster Mac for that Titan championship heavyweight championship?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to me, especially at this point in my career, I want everything. Like, you know, I want the world or their main title. I want the middleweight or whatever they call that title. I even want the tag titles. Honestly, I'll be my own tag partner. I kind of done that my whole career, to be honest with you. So I kind of want everything because there's one thing about the indies that's guaranteed. If you're a champion, they have to book you. And that's my way of staying on the roster and not hearing, oh, brother, we have no spot for you this time.
He's always dripping in gold. Now, obviously, everybody knows, like, I'm probably like Gangone's like number one fan. Everybody knows that.
Number one husband.
That's number one husband, you know, so Gangone's very important to me. He's got gear in gold. I always say he drips in gold. I mean, come on, let's be real here. I'm not a big collector, but like Dave Cole,
there it is,
made Gangone pop in gold. It had to be the gold gear, you know, so he's no stranger to gold. Never mind the fact of all the pictures that we have seen in promo photos from all the great photographers out there of all the belts that he's carried through the years. I've been a fan. I think it's like 7 years now. Honestly, again, I'm not shy to, yeah, 7 years that I've been a fan. And I think Gangone's really the reason of how, like, I really got into indie wrestling.
Aww.
So he's very important to me.
Aww.
Well, that was very nice to hear. And thank you for that. Oh, look, there we have a dog.
We got a visitor.
We love pet cameos. Who's this?
This is Lilo.
Aww.
Yes.
Like, from what I see, like a pity mix, maybe?
Yeah, it's a pit bull terrier.
Aww.
And she's a rescue. So I've had her for, me and Valentina have had her for a year and a half. And she's a great part of our life.
Wow, she got pretty eyes.
You have to go lay down now.
it seems like she really likes the camera too. She is all up in there.
Yes, she doesn't leave me alone. but I don't mind it.
Yeah, I love it.
Is Davey around too or not?
Davey's a bit grumpy, so he's on his dog bed. So don't touch him or else he'll bark.
Oh boy, okay.
Yeah.
So Tiffany mentions the gear, and we always do hashtag wrestling fashion. We have our winners every week. Every time I see you, man, the gear's on point, or there's like that extra mile, man. Like, tell us a little bit about your philosophy when you make that entrance, man. It's just something I always noticed about you.
Well, when I first started out wrestling, I had a lot of people say, yeah, I mean, he's a good hand, but he doesn't do this, or he doesn't have this kind of gear. And then I was watching the Macho Man documentary that I think they put out somewhere around like 2014 or something like that. And they mentioned that Macho Man, which is kind of crazy, wasn't the biggest guy, you know, and especially at that time, it was a land of giants. And he thought like the best way to stand out is have these elaborate robes. Mm-hmm. So, as a person, I wouldn't necessarily wear that in real life, but
no,
I don't really recognize who that person is that's wrestling. That's just some kind of form of me or my experiences kind of all meshed into one.
That's super interesting to me because like now that, and again, I'm very appreciative to like the wrestling community and everyone letting me be behind the curtain a little bit more. Like the first couple of times I did this stuff, I almost felt like a caricature of myself or a persona of myself. Like I almost felt guilty, like this babyface interviewer commentator, which I guess I am, but it's very like strange to me, but I guess that's like the world of wrestling, man. It's very, very interesting to me, man. And you know, moving forward, like what do you, I guess, appreciate about, you know, your persona? I don't even like using that word in the business, and kind of the fan reaction you get when you go out there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been kind of strange lately, maybe the past year or so, that I kind of feel like much more confident in myself that I can go out there and get the intended reaction, and I could go in the ring with anybody and have that you know, great match or whatever the case is, whatever I need to do for that particular day. So I mean, it's been great. I don't know exactly why that is. It's just one of those things that you kind of hear about, that you know, it becomes easier for people at some point, and you kind of just, it kind of just happens. I mean, that could be attributed to maybe like I don't necessarily have any shackles on me anymore. I'm my own boss finally. And but yeah, it's been a lot easier for me lately.
Oh, that's good to hear. Nooner.
Oh, so we were talking a little bit before. I see the Friday the 13th poster in the background. I see Sam from Trick or Treat. I'm assuming you're a big horror fan. What are some of your favorite horror movies?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like horror.
Kinda incorporates it into everything. So
right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big horror guy. So
yeah, I put it in my my promos and some of my gear as well. But two of my favorites, Fright Night from 1985.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay,
it's a great one. I used the theme song as my theme song for a long time.
Bring that out, yeah.
Yep. Come to Me, Brad Fidel, and then Abbott Costello Meets Frankenstein.
Oh,
one
okay.
of my favorite horror Oops, comedies. I like it. The Wolfman, pretty much anything John Carpenter's done.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, that's, I'm kind of a old school kind of horror fan. I grew up on it. Like Universal Monsters was my thing when I was a kid. You know, nice. Godzilla, stuff like that. But I mean, late, I've watched even new things, kind of more obscure things. Like I just saw this new movie that came out, Psycho Goreman, which is just a wacky, like
I heard about Power Rangers. I haven't had a chance to watch yet, but I've heard about it. So
it's like an adult, wacky Power Rangers episode. That's the best way to explain it. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know this, but he does run Chillin' Killin' Podcast. I feel like I'm doing the shameless promo for him, oh, like yeah, as Roth calls it.
Off the red carpet.
I appreciate that, Tiffany. I tend to forget all the things I do, and I don't like to promote myself in that kind of way.
I can promote the hell out of you. Definitely.
Thank you. Well, the checks will be in the mail.
Awesome.
Yeah, nice. We're all about it. But doing my homework for this, we're talking about the horror and stuff. You got like recently like a Jack Nicholson, like Joker, like what, like statue or mini statue? What was that? Was amazing.
Yeah. There's this company called Hot Toys that make these kind of high end action figures, you want to say.
Yeah.
And I've, for whatever reason, I grew up in an era that, you know, it was kind of the last era of people liking action figures. So it was kind of like, it's kind of a nostalgia thing for me.
Oh, we're big.
And I love that Joker look of the mime from that film. Mm. And it's a very expensive figure, but someone hooked me up with a better price. And it's got kind of a grail piece because I've been looking at it for years, just like, well, one day I'll get it.
Wow, for years. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's a piece from 2012, so it's almost 10 years old now.
Oh. So,
we'll definitely use the Joker intro for this episode for sure. My friend does a killer. Yeah, that was pretty good. My friend does a killer Joker impression from the animated series. So who was your favorite Joker, man?
Oh,
all around, all across the board.
Are we counting? Okay, so everything.
Yep.
I have to go with Mark Hamill.
Yes.
I have to. Yeah.
That's a great answer. I agree. Did you watch Gotham at all or no?
Well, I didn't watch Gotham per se. I've checked out certain episodes and like I would look at what the villains would look like.
Yeah.
But for me, I've always been very like frustrated that all these shows that have to do with Batman don't actually have Batman in it. And that kind of bothers me.
It's fair.
Because it's like everybody else, especially in Gotham, it's like, all right, when Batman grows up, who's he actually going to face? You know, it's kind of like everybody will be way older at that point.
I think
except that Jeremiah.
That's a great point. Yeah. And he was actually a really good actor. He was fantastic, man. But that's a really great point, man. But I digress. I did want to touch on this before I forget. You know, speaking of real life superheroes or more so now supervillains, you're taking on a friend of the show for a long time. The former Green Machine, Mr. Mike Orlando, down not in Orlando, but in Florida. I believe is that a Florida debut? I believe you posted.
Yes, it is.
Tell us a little bit about that one, man. A friend of the show, man. Obviously, he's a little bit of an attitude change in recent years. He's been killing it down there. I'm stoked for this match, bro.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things that just happened. And, you know, I've been eyeing Florida for a little bit for other reasons. And, I mean, the thing about Mike Orlando is that his recent change in persona, I feel what he says. Like his tagline is kind of, I'm not your brother.
Yeah.
And I feel that very much in wrestling. I feel, you know, most of my friends, I actually have real friends now. They can't really get anything out of me anymore. And in wrestling, as much as we would like it to be a very cool place that everyone's welcome to and everybody loves each other, the reality is, especially on the independent level, it's very much like the Wild West. And many people that people enjoy aren't necessarily who they are in real life. And Mike Orlando, I feel like, was hit pretty hard by that. And I assume also Ali Rex was hit pretty hard by that. And I understand his frustration. Although I think, unlike him, my anger actually brings me to another level. With him, I think it's more of a distraction.
Very interesting. This should be a great match. Who knows what's going to happen after? I mean, after you win, of course. But is this like a friend? Is this going to be a frenemies thing? This is very interesting just because you guys are on the same page as far as philosophy. And speaking of philosophy, we talked about earlier in the interview, kind of like that quest for gold, dripping in gold, as Tiff has said. But you know, you always hear that expression, the money's in the chase, right? Is there something that you're really wanting to do in terms of maybe a stipulation match? Because you've done a lot. You're everywhere, bro. Or a feud that you really want to have with somebody.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's I never really delve too deep into the dream match stuff.
Okay.
I'm not one for that. Although, I think for me, I really would like to do a dog collar match at some point. That's the type of match I would really like to do. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
I'll get some advice from Lilo here, but yeah.
I can see that with you and Eric Corvus doing that for whatever reason.
I love Eric. Sure, I'll do it with anybody.
I like one of the things I can definitely say from me is that because of the fact that I know you for so long and I've gone to so many live shows that you worked, and I know I've talked about this on my podcast, and it's just important to me that what I like is your mind is amazing when it comes to the ring, where I can see certain wrestlers that they do the same moves every show that I go to. And this is very important. If like guys haven't noticed this about Gangon, this is definitely one about him. And that's why he's one of my favorites, is that every match he does, it's very different. So he's just got an amazing mind when it comes to the art form in the ring. So,
well, I appreciate that. And I've heard that before. And many people have taken my ideas, although I haven't really been paid for them. And but I mean, the thing is that when you have, you know, I don't know, I'll just pick someone random, someone like Tiffany come to many of your shows. You do want to keep it interesting for every single crowd. And I also want to keep it interesting for myself, because I don't want to have the same match, and I don't want to, I want to try out new things. It's just something that I do, and I get bored very easily. And, you know, you'll see like certain moves often, or I might like look at an old video of mine. It's like, oh yeah, I used to do that. Maybe I should do that this weekend. But I seem to get inspired often. I know at one point I was supposed to wrestle someone and they didn't have much time, and they just said, oh, let's do the match we had a couple months ago. And I'm just like, no, I don't work that way, you know? So,
yeah. It's not like copy and paste, man. It's like,
yeah,
exactly.
No, not for me.
You know what you got, brother.
Oh, so we brought up Batman and, you know, origin stories. You know, were you a fan growing up? And if you were, who were you guys?
Yeah, I was a fan. Been a fan since I was 4, and at that point the Ultimate Warrior just came back to WWE, and for whatever reason I was really drawn to him, which is strange because it was like his third run at that point, and
we know a lot of people love the Warrior.
Yeah, it wasn't very good, but I kind of grew up on that stuff. And you know, I wasn't the biggest WCW fan, but I would pay attention. Like Ultimo Dragon was one of my favorites from WCW. Wow, Ultimo
Dragon, yeah.
Sting.
Surfer Sting or Crow Sting?
He was Crow at that point.
Okay, yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah. So, but as a teenager, I started getting into Ring of Honor. It was when, you know, they had Daniel Bryan and Austin Aries. Okay, Austin Aries and Nigel McGuinness. And it was just such a crazy roster, and most of those guys right now are signed to WWE or AEW or everywhere else. So it was a good time for me to be a fan at that point.
I loved Cesaro. It was a Claudio Castagnoli, yeah, back when we go to the ROH shows, finally doing that, the no armed airplane spin in front of people. He busted it out at last year's Mania, and of course there was no one there, but I was waiting ever since he got to the WWE for him to do that, and him and Seth, I thought was great, man. Do you keep up with the current product? What did you think of Mania? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I keep up with it as much as I can. I'm not like as huge into it, at least for like TV wrestling, as I used to. I pay attention more to the indies because that's kind of where I'm at right now. But I did see Mania. I thought both nights were pretty good. all things considered. I think for me, I wasn't necessarily enthralled with all the stories that they had leading up to it, but I thought as far as match quality, I thought, you know, most people delivered on that aspect, and it was for both nights.
Yeah. Yeah, to me, like, the biggest thing was actually seeing, you know, I say this on the podcast over and over, like, just seeing the fans in attendance, and I wanted to see if anyone would get emotional, like, coming out down the ramp or whatever, and sure enough, there was so much emotion. To me, the fans are so important. Like, let's be real, the Indies kind of had an advantage over the WWE for a short period of time because you had the fan reaction. We just watched the Stone Cold podcast with Jericho, which was phenomenal. So
good, yeah.
And Jericho was like, you know, guys are coming to Jericho asking how they're doing, what can they change? He's like, I don't know. There's no fans. Like, so you guys really had an advantage, man. And not to ask the cliche question, man, but I got to throw it out there, man. You know, we're seeing a lot of our friends that we've had on the show 1 year ago, 2 years ago. They're popping up on Dark right now. They're jumping into NXT, man. And to me, it's all about, you know, seeing dreams come true. Mr. Gangone, let's be real. You're everywhere. You're killing it, dripping in gold, like we've been saying over and over and over. What's the goal, man? Is it a certain place? Is it the politically correct answer? Is it to open a wrestling school? We've heard it all, man.
I mean, for me, I think it's time to make the next step, whatever that is.
Right.
That's my answer.
I like that answer.
Such a good answer.
I like it. Short and sweet. That means something's already in the works, or it's a we'll see.
It's time to step up. He said,
time tells all.
There you go.
It's funny that you say that, because we just talk about the Indies and, like, you know, like, you see everybody on social media going, the Indies are dead, right? Like, oh, Indies are dead. The Indies are not dead. And I saw an interesting take that somebody said. They're like, it's not dead, it's just making room to rebuild all the new talent. And it's crazy, and I know you and me had talked about this the last time I saw you, that I was talking about H2O, and then you have all these kids who are like 16, 17, 18 years old coming in, and these kids are crazy, like the things that they're doing. Like, was it Dylan McKay reminds me of Mark Quinn with his Shooting Star Press, and like, I tag Quinn and I'm like, look at this. I was like, this is like you. So, like, what are your thoughts about, like, even, like, all these up and coming, and even with the fact that people are saying that the Indies are dead?
Sorry. For some reason, the audio's messing up on my end.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why, but the last thing I heard, Tiffany, was you said everybody's saying that the Indies are dead.
Yeah. Right. So I just want to know, like, your take on that, especially with, like, again, we have all these new up and coming talent that are so young and so hungry. You know, so even like you could step into the ring with one of these kids like Dylan McKay. That's, like I said, that reminds me of Mark Quinn.
Yeah, I think that's silly to say. There's so much talent out there that there's no way that the Indies are dead. I will say that it's a strange time on the Indies because of who is necessarily in power on certain aspects, but you also have to make your own lane and opportunities. So, but I don't think that's true at all as far as the Indies being dead. At the very least, everybody works extremely hard at their crafts, even if they may lack in certain areas. So, but I don't believe that's true at all.
Yeah, I don't either. We wouldn't be doing us between the Bob Culture Podcast, the No Holds Barred Network, between all the talents, all the wrestlers and everybody behind the scenes. There's that so we interview that we, between the both of us, we believe so hard in the indie scene. And I got to be honest with you, I love the indie scene a hell of a lot more than mainstream. It's more personal. It's more, I don't know, just the relationships as podcasters that we've made, never mind the fact of like what we get to witness and like being able to be behind the scenes and seeing a lot of things that you guys do. Like, you guys work very, very hard. And definitely I know me, Rob and Chris, like, we can thank you for like everything that you do to entertain us. So definitely, I'm going to say that. I'm always going to praise Gangone. Like, you know, again, I can't help it. It's just, he means that much to me. So when it comes to indie wrestling.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And yeah, I mean, I fell in barbed wire, so that hurt.
Oh, yeah. I gotta watch that with him versus Matt Tremont at CZW. Yes. Oh my God. Heart attack for me.
Oh man. It's crazy. But just a personal question here. I always like to ask a lot of people that I have on if I'm going to call their matches. You know, you guys tell a story in the ring and it's always different. And I have the opportunity to narrate that story. And for you, you know, from a superstar perspective, what would you say to someone like me who I'm the new guy? I'm green as can be. You know all the expressions, but I'm a sponge, man. I want to learn from everything. I want to learn from my mistakes. What advice would you have for someone in that commentary position?
What I would say is, you're there for us as the wrestlers, not for yourself.
Yeah.
But through that, you can get yourself over. And I think that's the true mark of a commentator. I mean, it's the same thing for a manager, you know, you know, the group to me, and I think most people, Bobby Heenan was the greatest manager. And when he was with somebody, he was with that person and he put them over. And through that, he got himself over. And then eventually, obviously, he did his own thing. But whenever he was managing, it was for that person. And it's the same thing for commentary. I think too often, and this is just my perspective, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I think too often commentators think of themselves and not necessarily the wrestling action or the wrestlers. I mean, I understand that, I guess, in a certain way as far as the indies, because it's very difficult to make money. And I guess if you have yourself a pro wrestling tee store as a you know, commentator, it helps with the income. But at the same time, it kind of shows a certain agenda, I guess.
Very, very well said. Yeah, for me, and again, I'm the new guy. It's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, are you the color commentator? Are you the, you know, play-by-player? Are you this? And I'm just like, I'm Rob, you know? So I'm like, I'm trying to figure it out. And I always ask for feedback. I'll probably bug you for feedback, good or bad, man. And my philosophy is kind of like, and you'll see, I'm going to reach out to something a little more formal. Like, hey man, make sure I get all your moves right. Like, you know, any like, you know, workout stats you want to throw me, anything you want me to get over, man. And it seems to be, everyone's been very welcoming, man. And it's really just very exciting to like echo Tiff's sentiments. It's really amazing to be a part of that, man. But I did want to throw this one at you. It's our favorite question to ask. I did ask you this on your Instagram live, which was really cool of you to do, but you know, we just saw WrestleMania. You get that WrestleMania moment. You're walking down the aisle. What band or artist is playing you down to the ring?
John Carpenter.
Oh man. Come on, you guys. Yes.
Get the heavy synth going. I like it.
Listen, yeah. Rob, when you do their commentary on this match, because I'm not going to be there, unfortunately. So yeah. You better make sure you take pictures and all.
You're
that
always stuff. There in spirit.
So I'm there in spirit. Gango knows that when I'm not there, I'm there in spirit. But you messed this up. We're going to beat
I'm
you
sure
up.
He does.
You better stress the damn bridge, because he's got the most beautiful bridge ever. Okay. Like, so make sure if he does a bridge, you have to stress it on commentary.
I feel like I come up with a clever name.
Golden something.
I'll get there.
We'll get there. Yeah.
I'll get there, bro. Again, I'm very punny, but I take it very seriously. Don't worry, man. But I did also want to talk, you know, I'm a music guy coming from, you know, the music scene, and there's a lot of parallels between the wrestling and music for sure. You know, playing the drums for a long time, man. But you posted a video the other day with your theme. And I think it was an original theme with like a rap. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because that was really good.
Yeah. So I went to go support a high school friend of mine that I didn't see for many years. And then I saw that he was doing like a little show at like a cafe somewhere. And I thought, all right, I want to go, because that's how I feel like I would hope that somebody would want to support my interest. So I went and I listened to them, and I really liked their stuff. And I asked them if they would be willing to do a song. And for me, it was easier to do that than get like a rock or synth kind of thing, just because that there's more players involved compared to someone that deals with hip hop. Plus, I was always a fan of Chris Hero's themes. I thought they mixed well with wrestling. and they just created Like Mind is their name. It's a Wild Card and Comet. And they just created this great theme, and they know nothing about wrestling. I had to give them like notes. This is kind of what I do. And like, honestly, I thought it was going to be one of those situations where I'd be like, oh, can you please change this? Can you please change that? But the first try, I was like, this is great.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. And they actually performed my song live at one point, even though I was told after that, oh, don't, your character wouldn't come out to hip hop. Plus we have somebody else that has a hip hop song. So I wasn't allowed to have a hip hop song, I guess.
What?
So yeah, that's a funny little tidbit about, yeah. I'm writing a comedy book about wrestling. So.
Oh.
It'll be out in 12 years.
It's gonna be great, man. You said they performed the song. Like, did they perform the song with you coming to the ring, or like at a venue they performed it, like at a show?
No, they performed. They performed.
Yeah,
they did it at a show.
I got it.
I got it, Rob. I got the video.
Yeah, send it to me.
I was there. Of course, I was there. Yeah. It's somewhere. I'll send it to you.
Get the restraining order.
No.
I'm kidding.
You're terrible. But,
I'm kidding.
I'm very passionate about all my list of husbands. Okay. Like, I'm very supportive, right? Like, that's one thing that Anthony could say. I'm very supportive in the indies. So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very, very much so.
And Mr. Gangon, we do want to be respectful of your time. We appreciate you making the time.
Yeah,
do you have a few minutes for a couple fan questions? A couple people sent some stuff in. Sure. So our good friend Joe, he was asking, how was it he asked first, what were your goals for wrestling this year? I think we got into that already a little bit. How was it wrestling with Joe Gacy?
Yeah, Joe was fun to wrestle. I would say that our little run in CZW wasn't as good as I was hoping for. And there's some elements to that. Some of it's my fault. At the end of the day, you also have to get over in a certain way. And that particular feud, I didn't follow through with that. But in other places that we've had some great matches with the crowd being super into it. Joe was very supportive of me. He's helped me get into certain places as well. And he's one of the few people that ever actually helped me in wrestling get somewhere or has helped me or put my name out there. So I'm always appreciative of that.
I love that, man. And Gacy's always taking the time for us, man. That's not a name drop. That is just like, he's always like, you know, he's getting changed heading out for his honeymoon. And, you know, he's got his street clothes on. And he's about to walk out the door and he's doing an interview with us, man. Like, he's always just been super, super cool to us. And we're appreciative of him and happy for all his success. But speaking about Mr. Joe Gacy, and another fan question here, the secret of the amazing beards, because you have an amazing beard, sir. Nunes has got an amazing beard too. We're reviewing some Lady Frost and Savage Gentleman's products in a little bit, man. What's the secret to the beard? Is it a product? Is it just a lot of care, man?
I'm going to say it's just natural.
Yeah, that's we'll natural see. Looks.
Yeah. Well, one, I'm glad I was a little scared when you said amazing, but I'm glad we're talking about the beard. I mean, for me, it's natural. I don't really do anything. Every once in a while, I'll shampoo it, but yeah. So
I like it.
Yeah. Wow.
We'll get the Effie beard stuff. Effie's got one too.
Beard product.
Yeah.
I didn't know Effie had a beard. But yeah. Okay.
I think Mick Foley just put one out in that line too. Maybe we need a Gangon one, man. Well, he doesn't need it though.
He doesn't need it.
It's natural. Yeah.
I have no idea where to start with that, but
the line is just be him.
Yeah, exactly. Just be Anthony Gangon.
Just be you. That's a good line. That's a good tagline.
Keep it real. But Mr. Gangon, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Last one I want to ask from you, because you've been everywhere dripping in gold, like we said over and over again. You know, hopefully you're on to bigger and better things. We know you will be one day. Certainly, man. What advice would you have to some of these guys that are starting out? You know, we talked about commentary, but, you know, people who want to get heat from the crowd or want to get over with the crowd or take their persona, as we say, to that next level. Any advice? Or you don't have to give anything away if you don't want.
Well, I would say for anyone starting out to not be engrossed by this bubble that is wrestling. I think that it's better for most people, not everybody, for most people to separate their real life from wrestling. And please realize that many people are not necessarily your friends. That doesn't mean that they're bad people, but it doesn't mean, you know, those would be the type of people you would call on when, if something, you know, bad were to occur to you, like an accident or something like that. So what I would say is that don't let anyone control you. Don't make your own way. If you think something's right, go to that path, because at the end of the day, when you were a kid, more than likely when you were a kid, your dream was to be in WWE or New Japan or TV in general for wrestling. Your dream wasn't necessarily to wrestle on this random indie show that promises you the world. So that's my best advice.
Wow, man. Very, very well said. Yeah, and well as said. Always, we are all about the shameless promo here on the BCB. Let's get it out of the way. Let's talk about merch. Let's talk about socials where everyone can follow you, all that good stuff. There it is.
Yes. Tiffany is showing off one of the t-shirts at Pro Wrestling Tees. Just search Anthony Gangone. As Gangone, not Gaines or anything else. Gangone. I have a Twitter. That's at Anthony Gangone _. I also have, no, wait, _ is Instagram. So there you go. I don't even know my own stuff, but yeah. I have a Facebook. You can search me, Anthony Gangone. I have a horror podcast that I do. It's at the Just Chillin' Network. There's multiple podcasts on there, but I just do the horror stuff. And if you guys like that stuff, go check it out. We have
get this fun. Guy.
Love it. Definitely will, brother.
Everyone check that out. Subscribe, like, follow, all that good stuff. And Mr. Gangone, excited to call your match Saturday. Excited to see you there. Again, yeah, everyone, April 17th, Titan Championship Wrestling presents Ignition in Toms River, New Jersey for the socially distanced outdoor event. Get your tickets now at www.titan-championshipwrestling.com. Mr. Gangone, thank you so much for a few minutes thank of your you, time, brother. Man. Stay safe out there and continue success moving forward. All right, my man. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Love it. And thank you, Tiff, for being here. Nooner, as always. And like we always say here on the BCP, everyone, stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We out. Peace.